Peter chapter number 3. If you don't have your Bible this morning, there's Bibles in the pews. And we're going to look in 1 Peter chapter number 3. We're going to read verses 12 through 17. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I will probably make this a two-part message. I'll probably start this morning and just finish up tonight. And you'll be glad that I did. I mean, I don't know how big of a breakfast you had, but I try to pay attention to things like that. But I'll probably pick up this same message tonight, if the Lord allows and leads. But 1 Peter chapter 3, let's read verses 12 through 17, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Let's pray. Lord, we just come this morning, and I want to thank you for all the many blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for letting us be here, and each and every one that's come out this morning. Lord, I pray for your help. Lord, I cannot stand and do what needs to be done in and of my own self, but I need the help of the Lord today. I pray for power. I pray for unction. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help us as thy people. Lord, that we would be a people that would really be ready to give an answer to every man. Lord, the Word of God says we should be able to give an answer. Lord, I ask for your help. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd help our young people. I pray you'd help us to think as Christians ought to think, not as the world thinks. Lord, these things are contrary one to another many times. Lord, help us to be light and salt in a dark world. Help us to have the joy of the Lord upon our hearts and our lives. Use us for your honor and your glory. Help us just now. If there'd be one here today that's never been saved, Lord, that's lost, I pray that you'd show them their great need of salvation. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do, and we come asking it in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's read verse number 15 one more time, and we'll get started this morning. Verse number 15, the Bible said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And here's a very familiar passage of Scripture. And as I was studying about this and thinking about it, what you have a picture of is somebody that's hopeless asking a question of somebody that has hope. That's what we're to be ready to give an answer to. And look at it again and see if that's not what you have a picture of. Somebody that's hopeless asking a question of the hope that is in you. It said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And so we that are saved, we that are the children of God, we are to be ready to give an answer when anybody comes and asks about the hope that we have in us. And I want to preach on this subject this morning. I want to preach on questions and answers. Questions and answers. History is full of philosophers and teachers and theologians and religious wise men. I mean, we could give example after example this morning of people attempting to answer life's biggest questions. What are some of life's biggest questions? I mean, if you just think about it this morning, where did we come from? That's been asked for thousands and thousands of years. Where did we come from? How did we get here? Who am I? Where am I going when we die? Where do we go? What happens to us after we die? These are things that people have been talking about still, even today, asking these questions. Where do we go when we die? What am I to do with my life? What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life? See, I told you, if you'd be glad if I'd break this up into at least a couple of minutes. That's big questions, isn't it? Well, why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing? There's no end to the questions that people ask, but who has really got the answers? I like what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 24. It's talking about Solomon. And it said, "And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart." Where did Solomon get his great wisdom from anyway? The Bible says, which God had put in his heart. And all the earth sought after the wisdom of Solomon. Now, I'm not here this morning to be politically correct about this and try to make the case that everybody has some good and everybody has some truth and you know, try to make the case for everybody. I want to say this morning unapologetically that the Bible has the answer to man's greatest questions. And that's the line of thought that I'm going to come from this morning is what does the Bible say about these things? You know, we've got a lot of controversy in our county right now about books in the school system and what's going to be allowed and not allowed. And I've been involved in this to a certain degree and talked about it on the radio and things like that. But I've been thinking about this thought, and I told Kim a couple of weeks ago, I said, "It has dawned upon me that I'm a survivor." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm a survivor of the public school system." Say, "What do you mean by that, preacher?" I'm a survivor of the public school system that I was brought up in. And here's what I mean by saying that. I don't want you to get the impression that I'm anti-school or anti-education. I'm not. But here's what I mean in saying that. On one hand, I was raised in church. I was raised in a Christian family with Christian parents. We were in church every time the doors were open. I heard the truth of salvation since I was a baby. I've been brought to church, and I'm thankful this morning. I have a testimony that I can say that I was saved when I was 9 years old. The Lord changed me. He saved me, not because of anything that I had done in and of myself, but God in His goodness convicted me of my sinful condition. I seen that I needed to be saved and asked the Lord to save me, and He saved me, He changed me. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So on one hand, I am coming at this from being raised in church, hearing the Bible stories all my life, going to Sunday school. But on the other hand, in school I learned things totally contrary to what I was hearing at church. I learned at school that I was not created, but that we were here by accident, that we evolved, is what the school system teaches and taught when I was growing up, that we are products not of the Lord, but of evolution. Darwin, and learned about all these things. I learned humanistic ideas, liberal ideas. Now, it might surprise you this morning, but in my life, I'm talking about once upon a time, when I was a teenager, I did not see anything wrong with abortion. That might surprise you to hear me say that. But only because that's something that we were learned in school. At that time, these things weren't really brought up in church. Here's why I didn't see one way or another about it. I just didn't really know what it was. Nobody had ever taught me from the Word of God what the Bible says. All I had heard was from the world and from the school. And so in my mind, in my way of thinking, I didn't think, you know. Boy, I hadn't thought some things through. Liberalism, I promise you I didn't hear that at church. I promise you I didn't get that from the home that I was raised in. So as a result of that, I had hope, but my hope had a great big question mark on it. And if your hope has a great big question mark on it, that's really the same as having no hope. Because what good is a hope that you really don't know if it's good or not? That you're really not founded in. Where does that hope come from? But when I was an 18-year-old young man, I began to ask myself again some of these big questions of life. And I began to look not to school, I really didn't even ask anybody about these things, but I began to study the Bible. And you know what? I began to get answers from the Bible that satisfied the longing of my heart. That satisfied the questions and all the, I'm telling you, I grew up jumbled up in my mind as to how things really were. I'm learning at church, I'm learning at school. These things are contrary and contradictory one to another. I had to get some answers, and I began to just look in the Bible and do some study, and I thank the Lord that I did. But what about these questions and answers? We are supposed to be able to give an answer to every man. And first thing I want to look at this morning is that first question I mentioned. Where did we come from? Where did we come from? Now, the answer that you're going to find out here in the world, you're going to find that we either come from creation or evolution. In all the thousands and thousands of years of the history of mankind, it boils down to those two things. Somebody could say we're here, God created us. Other people say we're here, God did not create us, we evolved. We evolved. Verse 15 says we're to give an answer to every man. Verse 16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now, if you are a teacher or a promoter of creationism, you will be spoken of as an evildoer. You just might as well be prepared for that. Recently, just a couple of weeks ago, there's a big debate. It was broadcast over the internet. Thousands, I don't know how many watched it, but it took place up in Kentucky at the Creation Science Museum. I've been there. Brother Stephen's been there. Ken Ham and Bill Nye the Science Guy. How many's heard of Bill Nye the Science Guy? He used to have a television program come on Saturday mornings and a lot of people watched. He's very entertaining. But they had a debate, creation or evolution. Are we here by special creation of God or did we evolve? Bill Nye the Science Guy believes we're here because of evolution. And if you listened to or paid attention to what went on during that debate, Bill Nye basically said, basically what they're saying is you're just about a criminal if you want to teach children creation. He believes that if we taught our children that we were here through creation and not evolution, that we would have no scientists. We would have no higher education. We'd just basically be a society of dummies. That's the gist I got from it. They would speak of you as evildoers, is what the Bible says. There's a lot of people in society that do not believe creation has any place whatsoever in the education of our children. A lot of people out there like that. But God Almighty thought so much of it. Do you know what? If you pick up the Bible and you don't know anything about the Bible, and there's a lot of people. I met somebody just a few weeks ago. They said, I've never been to church. I invited a young man to church. I said, I'd like for you to come. He said, I've never been to church. That's hard for me to. That's all people in the mountains grew up. That's all I've ever known. But you know what? If you didn't know anything about the Bible, and like any book, if you just picked it up and you went to the first page in the Bible, and you read the first verse in the Bible, do you know what? The first thing God wanted us to know in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Genesis, the word means beginnings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I want to say this morning, it is one or the other, but it cannot be both. They are totally contradictory one to the other. It cannot be both. There's no middle ground in it for anybody that really studies it out and looks into it. Brother Kyle has been teaching this semester in the college ministry, and this really got me to thinking about this, but I've been over there and we've been talking more about creation, but you talk about going against the grain. You really begin, if you talk to young people especially about this, you find that how much their thinking has been influenced by the teaching of evolution, even people raised in church. Our minds are conditioned to accept the teaching of evolution, and if you believe in creation, the educational system is against you. They will speak of you as evildoers. If you know anything about what goes on in our country, there has been many school systems throughout our nation that have tried to get creation at least introduced into the educational system to at least be taught alongside of evolution so it wouldn't be so lopsided. At least present both sides. And there are some school systems that teach creation and evolution together. But there are no school systems that teach them alongside one another that has not been forced to do that by the community. It is always because people in the community come along and they say, we want an option to be taught at least alongside of. It always comes from the people. It always comes from the community. You don't find it that comes from the educational system. They don't even want you to sit down at the same table with them. If it come from the top of the educational system, there would be no creation taught in school whatsoever. And if it is, it's because the people have got together and demanded it and elected people to the school board that will come along and say, we're at least going to present both sides. But you need to know this morning that if you believe in creation, the educational system is against you. You need to know that the entertainment industry is against you. What I mean by that, Hollywood, TV, movies, all of these things teach and promote cereal boxes. Kids' television shows promote evolution. Evolution, millions of years, billions of years. You were not here by creation of God. You're here because you came from monkeys. That's the entertainment industry. I remember when I was growing up, and this is not something that's new, but you know, we grew up, I guess my generation really the first to have multiple television channels. I remember when we got cable television, we had 13 channels. People today wouldn't know what to do. And four of them are repeats, you know, NBC and all of that. But I remember they had, we used to watch Planet of the Apes. Planet of the Apes. You know, that's where we come from as apes. We used to watch Land of the Lost. Anybody used to watch Land of the Lost? And that family, you know, they're on a camping trip and they fall into a big hole in the ground and they go back in time. And the whole show, the dinosaurs is trying to eat them up and stomp them out and chase them down. Every show's like that. Every show in Land of the Lost, the dinosaurs are trying to, and that them poor people, they had to run from them dinosaurs every episode. And then you come along, that's a lot better now, a lot better effects, I guess. Things like Jurassic Park. And it's the same idea, the dinosaurs chasing the people down. And then I watched a little, I guess it was a Disney movie or something with Chloe a while back, The Croods, that's animated. That's the same old thing, cavemen and dinosaurs trying to get them every day and kill them, and they had to fight for their food and all that stuff. And these ideas are ingrained in the minds of young people. And in fact, that Bible study a few weeks ago, one of the college students, and I don't think they'd mind me telling it, but they said, how did man survive if he lived alongside the dinosaurs? Because you get this in your minds, you know, the dinosaurs are trying to eat all of us and stomp us out and all that, you know. And a verse of scripture coming to my mind. Look in Genesis chapter 9. How did mankind ever get to the point where we are today? The dinosaurs is trying to eat him. The pterodactyls in the Land of the Lost are swooping out of the sky and snatching little boys and girls up, taking them off. And I mean, how did we ever make it? How did we get to this point? Well, the answer is in the Bible. After the flood, Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible said, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. Right there's your answer. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. That's the Bible answer. All the rest of this is fiction. What you see on television is fiction. That's not the way. That's not even the way life is now. You don't believe me? Go to SeaWorld. You'll see that man has conquered the largest fishes in the sea. Go to the circus. You'll see a man put his head in a lion's mouth. You'll see a man make an elephant sit down on a stool or stand up on its... How did we survive? Because God put man at the top. People wear fur coats. Animals don't wear people coats. Amen. Was it Joe Namath at the Super Bowl? Boy, he caused a stir. And when I seen that, I knew that there'd be a fuss about his fur jacket he wore out there. To flip the coin. When I seen that, I thought, boy, there'll be people won't like that. But you never see, Kim's mom, she tells a little joke. She said, if people wear turtlenecks, do turtles wear people necks? No, they don't. Why? Because God put it in the minds and in the emotions and in the instincts of animals to be afraid of us. We conquer them. They do not conquer and take over us, but the entertainment industry, you're going to be against it if you believe in creation. You're going to have to start thinking differently. The educational system is against you. The entertainment industry is against you. The end time mentality is against you. Look in Romans chapter 1. Now we're living in the last days. I believe that with all of my heart. We're living in what the Bible classifies as the end times. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's where we are. Paul also said to Timothy in verse number 7, he said about the last days that people will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's a bad case to be in. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Word of God says in the last days, people will be learning more and more and more. There's no end to learning. But how sad to never be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Romans chapter 1 describes exactly where we are in 2014 and have been for several years now. Romans chapter 1 describes for us what happens when mankind turns his back on his Creator and says we don't want to acknowledge God anymore. And let me say, that's where we are in these last days. And that's what evolution is. It is a doctrine. It is a religious belief that we will accept anything as long as God's not involved. We turn our back on our Creator. God says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what the Bible says? If you want to know God, if you want to see God, all you got to do is open your eyes. Look at this world. Look at the order of this world. Look at the stars. Look at the sun, the moon, the complexity of life. Look at the earth. Look at all these things God hath clearly shown mankind. Where did we come from? For thousands and thousands of years, the answer was God made us. In the last days, we've evolved. That's been the answer. And he goes on down, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, I teach in a Bible college, but we do not use the word professor. Because you know what? If you look in the Bible, the word professor is a bad word. The professors are always the ones that rejected what God had to say. So we're just teachers. They're professing themselves to be wise. They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And I'm telling you, it goes on down and it just gets worse and worse and worse. The more we reject God, the more God rejects us. Say, preacher, you ought not to say that. That's what the Bible says. The more mankind rejects God, well, they're turning their back against the light. Look what it said in verse, 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another. You know what that's talking about. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Here's what I was looking for, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What I'm saying, you reject God, the more you reject God, the more society rejects the Lord. The darker society gets. The Bible says God turns them over to a reprobate mind. The problem is not with creation when it comes to the idea of evolution, but the problem is Creator. That's the problem they have. It's talking about having a creator. Evolution, as I said a moment ago, it's a denial of God. And there's many out here that follow the doctrine or the religion of evolution, because it does take faith to believe in evolution. And it is followed as a religion. There are those that will follow it in spite of all the evidence against it that's out here in the world. It's followed as a religion. But I'm telling you, it's a hopeless, meaningless existence. To just go along in life and think to yourself, I'm here by accident. There's nothing special. It's all random. It's no wonder our schools, it's no wonder our society is filled with such darkness, such dread of life, and hatred of that which is good, and rejection of the light. You go into the darkness, it just gets darker. It's no wonder there's so much suicide, and there's so much drug addiction and alcohol addiction and all of these things, because if you don't know the truth of the Word of God, there's no hope there. It's a hopeless way to live. There's many things that are against us today, but I'm telling you, I still believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read about three verses over there. Give you just a moment to turn over here. This is one of my favorite verses when it talks about the creation of the world. And of course, Hebrews chapter 11, we call it sometimes the Hall of Fame of Faith, because it talks about all these great people that had faith in God, and God greatly used them. But it begins just talking about the subject of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." That's what I want to point out. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now notice, it does not say by faith we believe. Don't come to me and say, well, you just choose to believe that. That's not what the Bible says. Well, this is just what I believe, and I'm not going to think about anything else. I'm not going to try to be scientific. This is just what I believe. Don't talk to me about anything else. That's not what it says. It says through faith we understand. There's a difference there. It does not say by faith we believe. It says through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The world will never look right until you look at it through eyes of faith. When you begin to look at the world through eyes of faith, it all begins to make sense. But if you never look at it through eyes of faith, it'll never make sense. Now, we have some things on our side. I know the education and the entertainment and the end time mentality is all against us, but we have some things on our side. We have evidence on our side. Evidence is a pretty good thing. If you go to court, you'd better have some evidence, or they'll throw your case out. We have some evidence on our side. Now, you go to any library, you go to a school library, college library, the public library, find you a world almanac. You know, that's the big books that have the good pictures that nobody ever checks out or takes home. You can always find the World Almanac. And what you'll read when you read about the history of the world, there is a point in every almanac where it says about 6,000 years ago is the beginning of recorded history. About 6,000 years ago is the beginning of recorded history. What they're talking about is when mankind began to write. We have different languages all about that same time. We have different civilizations that crop up about 6,000 years ago. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, Sumerians, Assyrians, the Hebrew, on and on we could go. As a young earth creationist, I have no problem with that because I know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 10. In Genesis chapter 5, you have the obituary of Adam and his family. And if you just go over there and you add up all the ages that they were and when they died, what you'll get is about the first 1,836 years of the world. And you go just a little farther than that, you come up to about Moses' time. That's the first 2,000 years of the history of the world. From Moses to the Lord Jesus Christ is 2,000 years. From the Lord Jesus Christ till today is 2,000 years. That's 6,000 years. I have no problem with recorded history beginning about 6,000 years ago. In Genesis chapter number 10, you have the Tower of Babel. You have that God confounds the languages of the earth. This is why all the various civilizations appear about the same time. Because they were all of one language. But when God confounded the languages, they couldn't understand each other. They started going off with who they could communicate with. There's where your civilizations come from. That's why they all appear about the same time. About 6,000 years ago, the Bible has an answer. The evolutionist has a big problem. He's got what they call a missing link. And it's not like when you put a 5,000 piece puzzle together and you're missing a piece or two. You know, it's under the oven. It's under the piano. We're talking about a missing link. The whole middle of the thing is gone. And a lot of the edges. There's just a missing link there. There's a missing link because how did ape man, what about this huge gap between ape man and modern man? What did he do? Did ape man wake up one day and his tail fell off? And he said, I think I'll start writing in Egyptian hieroglyphics and build a pyramid. Well, how are you going to get from ape man? Well, that's one thing. I could not sort out in my mind. And I remember thinking this to myself. And had I not got this settled, God would have never been able to call me into the ministry because I had a big question mark. I said, where did Adam and Eve and the cavemen, how do they jive? And I remember thinking in my mind, did God make Adam and Eve and then they forgot how to talk and they turned into cavemen and just become dumb as rocks and then they built back up? The answer to that is evolution's a lie. And although people did live in caves, people have always lived in houses. And tents and tabernacles and things along these lines. But where? What are we going to do with that huge gap? We're talking about evidence, not theory. You always hear about the theory. A theory of something that has not been proven, but we're just going to guess that this is how this happened. We're going to make a stab at this is the way that it is. I think not only about the missing link there, I think about the fossil record. There's something in science, there's something in geography or geology, and it's called the fossil record. And the fossil record, boy, God is so smart. The fossil record, here's a phrase the world loves to use, global. The fossil record is global. That means anywhere you go in the world, you will find fossils. Fossils are people, animals, leaves, insects, anything that they dig down in the earth. And what it is, they are created by vast amounts of pressure. So here's a bug. And something mashed it to the... It didn't have time to decay. It didn't rot.
And thousands of years later, or according to the evolutionists, millions of years later, some farmer's out and he digs that up. And lo and behold, there's a fossil. I read something a while back that said they found the world's oldest fossil. I think it was either a mosquito or a roach. I can't remember what it was. But it was the world's oldest fossil. And you know what they said it was? We'll just say it was a mosquito. Millions of years old is still a mosquito. Why wasn't it something else? How come every fossil they find, it's what it is today? Well, why hadn't they found a man with a tail hanging off of him? I know you go to museums and see all those things, but you know there's people comes in and makes a lot of these things off of one bone. I don't care where you go in the world today, there's still people that have high foreheads, sloped foreheads, big jaws, big bone, bent over. I mean, you find a bunch of bones in somebody's backyard, that doesn't prove that they were all hairy. You see what I'm saying? I'm talking about evidence. I'm not talking about theory. Billions of fossils, all of them identifiable as insects, birds, reptiles, mammals, human beings. How did that all come about? The Bible has an answer. Genesis 7:11, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. It rained upon the earth 40 days. It didn't just rain during the flood of Noah. The fountains of the great deep were broken up, is what the Bible says. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God made this earth. Through faith we understand, we comprehend, we see this. I have been blessed in my life. I've lived on the Eastern Continental Divide and the Western Continental Divide when we lived in Idaho. This wasn't very far. Go over to Jackson Hole from Idaho and you cross the Western Continental Divide, and every Thursday night when I go to school and even around here, I cross the Eastern. That's the great mountain ranges in America. You go right out here a couple of miles and look up at Grandfather Mountain, and you know what you will see? And I know we say sometimes, God created the mountains, aren't they beautiful? Let me tell you something, God did not create them like that. That is visual evidence. The Rocky Mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, the Grand Canyon. I've been to Europe and the Swiss Alps. All of that is visual worldwide evidence that a worldwide catastrophe took place. Something pushed the mountains up out of the ground. Something tore the earth and the great rocks asunder. Go look at Grandfather Mountain. Look at that. What you see, there's something major happened. This little valley we've got the church in, this washout down through here. Go to the Grand Canyon. The evolutionist says that the river routed the Grand Canyon out. You go to the Grand Canyon, you say, where's the river? Oh, yeah. I do see the river down there. It's sort of green. It looks about like that black stripe on the floor at the back of the sanctuary that I can see with my eye. You're going to tell me that done all this? Looks to me like there was a great flood. And the water receded quickly. Now I can believe that. But I don't believe that little river done all this. Looks like a washout. That's what it looks like on a grand scale. We have the visual evidence all round about us. Something happened that caused the earth to look like it looks today. You don't have to be a scientist to see that, but you have to be a creationist to understand it. Say, why are you dwelling on this morning? Because so many people are so messed up along these lines. And they need to know. God wants you to know where you come from. He put it first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'll just quickly say this and I'll close this morning. People say, who am I? Who am I? I'll tell you this, you're not an accidental monkey that crawled out of some galactic sludge pool. It's not what you are this morning. You didn't come through billions and billions of evolved years and one day your tail fell off and all that stuff. It's no wonder life is so cheap and hopeless in our society. But I'll tell you where you come from this morning. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7 says about Adam. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You're a living soul. Put here by the special creation of God. He's got a purpose for each and every one of us. He's got a design upon us for our life. He loves us this morning is what the Bible says. Now that's hope. You tell me here that I'm here by accident, there's no hope in that. There's no purpose in that. But you tell me I'm here and God made me and God even loves an old sinner like me, that's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's who you are. I'm not much. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, for you, because He wants you to be saved. He wants you to have a home in heaven. He wants you to have hope. He wants you to know there's meaning and purpose to your life, and you're not just all alone in the universe. Well, that's good. That's good. There's a God in heaven. We ought to be able to give an answer to every man that asks of the reason of the hope that's in us. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Dale to get us a song of invitation. We always have an invitation. I'll ask the ladies to come. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment.